Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. On our show last week, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich was here to discuss the Republicans' midterm election campaign document, The Pledge to America. Along the way, I asked a question based on something New York Times columnist Paul Krugman had said, and Gingrich responded with something we're about to replay. But Paul Krugman is here now, partly because his office called and asked for a chance for him to respond to Mr. Gingrich, New York Times columnist and Princeton economics professor. Paul Krugman here in our studio. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, good to be on.
And let's listen together to this Newt Gingrich clip. He had been talking about changing the culture of Congress and to accept a House Republican budget as a cap on spending. He said, quote, "You can't have the appropriators as a freestanding separate institution. They have to be part of a larger system of spending control." So I asked him, I said, from the other side in the Paul Krugman article today, that was Friday, he cites numbers that say making the Bush tax cuts on the top 2% permanent would add $3.7 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years, and holding Medicare, Social Security, and military spending harmless at the same time, which the Republican pledge does, would mathematically mean literally the entire rest of the federal government would have a zero budget. I was quoting you. So I asked him, is the pledge magical thinking economics? And here was his response.
Well, look, Krugman is an extraordinary left-wing intellectual who has no concept of how the market works. The fact is, the way we balanced the budget in the 1990s is we cut taxes and increased economic growth. We have a plan of American solutions, which would include zero capital gains, which, by the way, Alan Sinai, the economist, has said would create 1.4 million new jobs a year. We have a proposal to cut the American corporate tax rate to 12.5%, which is the Irish level. We have a proposal to cut the Social Security and Medicare tax for a year by 50% for every worker in America.
But even if those things create jobs, they're not going to be a net plus in federal revenue. You're not claiming that, right?
Oh, sure they are. Over time, they are. Absolutely. All you do is run the numbers. If you go from the 9.6% unemployment of the Obama economy, which is a food stamp economy, back down to a 4% full employment economy, which is a paycheck economy, the difference in that many Americans going to work, no longer being on Medicaid, no longer being on food stamps, paying taxes, is an enormous differential.
Newt Gingrich on Friday's show. Paul Krugman with us in the studio. Well, do you want to start on you being an extraordinary left-wing intellectual? Do you wear that badge?
Boy, 15 years ago, holding exactly the same positions I now hold, I was being treated as a centrist or even kind of conservative. So it is kind of funny to see myself now as this left-winger. But what Gingrich is doing there is confirming what I actually said in that column, which is that Republicans have shifted from the war on terror to the war on arithmetic. This was not about the market. This was about just, guys, your numbers do not add up. And they don't. Just one more thing to say, by the way. He talks about the 90s as a great period. The 90s, Bill Clinton raised taxes. And what we're actually talking about now is whether for the top 2% of the population, taxes are going to go back to what they were during those wonderful 1990s.
Exactly, in the 90s. I was wondering about the factual accuracy of that. I don't know if he was referring to something else in the tax rates, but he said the way we balanced the budget in the 90s was to cut taxes and increase economic growth. Maybe some other taxes.
Yeah, there was some stuff on capital gains, but fundamentally the 90s were an era of higher taxes because Bill Clinton raised them to balance the budget. And you know what? It worked.
How about that answer contained some of his side of some of the biggest economic questions of our time. Let me also ask your response to what he said about government revenue, that if you cut taxes, you maybe will get unemployment down to 4%, an employment economy, and then over time, in the long run, he didn't say it would happen in, fiscal 2012, but over the long run, the lower income tax rates would actually lead, and capital gains rates and these various rates, would actually lead to more revenue for the government. Do you accept any of that?
No. I mean, look at the – we've had two – pretty clean experiments, right? Bill Clinton raised taxes at the beginning of his 8 years, and we had a booming economy and rising revenues, and we actually moved into a budget surplus. George Bush cut taxes at the beginning of his 8 years, and we had a, even at its best, an economy that was nowhere near as good as that of the 1990s, and of course a total collapse at the end, and increased deficits. Now, you know, don't want to go overboard and say raising taxes leads to prosperity, but the notion that there's some wonderful magic in tax cuts, you've got as clear a refutation of that as you could possibly hope for.
Paul Krugman, my guest on WNYC. We have some calls coming in. We can take some calls for Dr. Krugman this morning, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Your latest column is about structural unemployment, and you were criticizing something Bill Clinton said about a mismatch between jobs available and people's skills accounting for much of the unemployment rate today.
Yeah, because there, this is something I was a little bit shocked to see Bill Clinton saying that, and this was a friendly note to him that he really is talking to the wrong people, because this is something that is now part of what the inside the Beltway crowd is saying. Oh, well, it's structural. We don't, workers don't have the right skills. This is just not true. There's not a hint of that in the evidence. You know, maybe if we got the unemployment rate down to 6%, which then we might start to see some skills problems. Those are not, that's not even clear. And at the rate we're going, we won't get to that point until like forever. So we're no skills is not a problem. Lack of demand, lack of jobs is the problem. I've been shocked at how ready everybody, including Democrats like Bill Clinton, has been to basically concede, okay, we've got massive unemployment. There's not much we can do about it. It's a long-run problem. It's not. We could solve it in a year if we had the political will.
A year to solve the unemployment problem?
We could bring it way, way down.
By? I mean,
well, if we could do a really an adequate size fiscal stimulus, a really aggressive policy by the Fed to get credit moving in this economy, we could do, you know, the Great Depression. People said the same thing. Oh, this can never be ended. Then began the build up to the war, and magically the mass unemployment went away. So this is a political problem. It's an intellectual problem. It's not fundamentally an economic problem.
How much debt and new deficits, additional deficits, could the economy withstand to create a massive stimulus program?
Again, if you do the arithmetic, it's amazing how small a problem that is. Yes, we have a long-run fiscal problem. We have look ahead 20 years, and it's a big problem. It's a big problem mostly because of Medicare. But look at what it takes. Suppose the federal government borrows $1 trillion and start to work through how much that will actually affect the long-run budget position, and it's incredibly small. Interest rates are very low. It doesn't cost a lot. And, of course, if you spend money to boost the economy, a good part of it comes back to you in the form of higher tax revenues. So this is not a big problem.
President Obama yesterday, on this question of structural deficits, structural unemployment, forgive me. President Obama yesterday called for a big push to hire math and science teachers and train scientists and engineers. Isn't there, in addition to the just lack of demand for workers in the economy, isn't there also a technology knowledge gap, a structural unemployment gap in this country that is serious, even if it's not the main reason that unemployment has spiked in the last 2 years?
It's not an unemployment issue. There is an issue of long-run productivity growth, of the ability of the U.S. to make the best use of technology. And for that, we need better education. But that's a 20-year issue, a 30-year issue. We had unemployment below 5% just 3 years ago. The mix of skills our economy needs hasn't changed that much in just 3 years. So this is not the reason. I know a lot of recent college graduates, some of them relatives, who cannot find jobs. No matter how highly skilled you are, this is not a good economy.
Let's take some of the callers who are calling in to speak to you. My guest, Paul Krugman on WNYC. And how about Ross in Manhattan? You're on WNYC. Hi, Ross.
Hi. I have a question. I'm wondering if, because now the richest 2% earn so much more than the lowest, say 20%, if an increase on taxes in the richest 2% is enough, say, to decrease the deficit, if such a small percentage of the population can have such a huge influence on the overall deficit.
Yeah, we used to say raising taxes on the upper couple of percent of the population doesn't bring you that much in the way of revenue because they don't make that all that much money, but now they do. So it's still probably not enough. You probably can't actually close our long-run deficit problem just by raising taxes on the upper couple of percent, but you can do an amazing amount. You know, just not extending the Bush tax cuts for the top 2%. And by the way, most of that is about the top 0.1%. Most of the benefits of extending all the Bush tax cuts goes to just people making more than $2 million a year is a significant amount of revenue. We're talking about $700 billion or more over the course of 10 years. That's a lot of money.
I'm glad you brought up that top 1% or one half of 1%. I heard one of the conservative hosts yesterday saying the problem with saying we need to raise taxes on the wealthy, and the wealthy is everybody from the dry cleaners owner who makes $251,000 a year, just above the limit, to Bill Gates, is that it's a class war. But it made me think, well, maybe part of the problem is that Bill Gates isn't taxed enough. You know, that top rate kicks in at $250,000. And then it's the same all the way up to people who are making $1 billion a year.
Yeah. The first thing to say, by the way, it is a higher tax on your income in excess of $250,000.
Right.
So it's not like if you make $250,000 and 1 cent that all of a sudden you pay a lot more
taxes.
Your
tax rate just goes up on that penny.
That's right. So it's, you know, we're not talking about big tax increases for people who are just barely into that category. They'll barely notice it. Second thing is, yeah, there is a pretty good case for having another bracket. We used to in the good old days.
Or more than one more.
Yeah, under that socialist Dwight Eisenhower, there were a lot of brackets, and it went up to as high as 91%, which I don't advocate. But for having a super bracket, I think that makes a lot of sense. Because the fact of the matter is you're like the old movie Wall Street, your $400,000 a year working Wall Street stiff is not in the same category as the hedge fund manager making $1 billion a year.
Do you think there might be a political way out along those lines for the president and the Democrats in Congress, instead of going back to exactly what the Clinton rates were, which, you know, with $200,000 for an individual or $250,000 for a couple, these rates start going up again, make it $500,000. Would there be so much lost in actual revenue that the political benefit of starting this at $500,000 might not be worth it?
Look, the way I see it is there is no case for not having the rates at $250,000. I mean, this is although there are,
because you know, living in New Jersey, that there are a lot of people in our area who, you know, we get calls from people say, look, I'm a public school teacher and my wife is a principal and we make $252,000.
Yeah, but they're going to pay almost nothing in more taxes. So remember, if you raise it to a much higher number, what you're doing is you're actually giving a tax break on the next, say, $250,000 to all the people who are actually making $3 or $4 million. So this is not unreasonable. And also, given the way the legislation works, the best chance we have of at least getting some of this revenue back is to just stop it right there.
Evan in Teaneck, you're on WNYC with Paul Krugman. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering, isn't the big elephant in the room really the trade deficit? Because all of our jobs are going overseas, so we can't get the unemployment down because just jobs go overseas. No matter what you do in this country, you know, you cut the taxes for businesses, et cetera, or it's just still going overseas. All the production, anything you buy in the supermarket or store is from overseas. Until you correct that problem, you're not going to correct the unemployment.
Okay, there's something to that. It certainly would be a lot easier for us to get back to full employment if we didn't have a trade deficit, but it's a little hard to deal with the whole thing. I will say that even if you go and buy some Chinese thing at Walmart, a large part of the dollar you spend is actually domestic. It's going for domestic distribution, management. You know, even at Walmart, maybe all Chinese goods, but a lot of it is actually U.S. value added. But at least on one front, there is something we could really do, which is China. China is outrageous currency manipulation. I've been tearing my hair out over the unwillingness of the Obama administration to confront them. So on that front, at least we can move. It's not all trade deficit, but let's do what we can.
We're going to have to leave it here because we're out of time. Listeners, if you want to continue either of the conversations that we've had so far today, as well as some of the ones to come, you can do so on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Respond to Rick Lazio calling in earlier on the day after he dropped out of the governor's race. Respond to Paul Krugman and Newt Gingrich and some of the conversation we've had here today. Comments, threads, open threads available at itsafreecountry.org. You are the Nobel Peace Prize winner in economics. Was it last year?
It was two years ago. Feels like a decade.
So it's coming up again in just a few weeks. Any predictions or preferences. Some people say that your Princeton colleague Kiyotaki is in the running.
Yeah, I mean, I would be delighted, obviously, if nobody gets it. But it's there's no way to there's about 20 people who have the citation list long enough that they are in the running, and I have no idea.
All right. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come in a minute.